anything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we visit Chico Theater Company, where the current production is Neil Simon's hit comedy, The Odd Couple. We'll talk with the director and with the two actors who play Oscar and Felix, best of friends but opposite personalities, trying to stand each other when they become roommates.
I'm a weaver, a master weaver. I've got a loom where the best cloth's made. Plain cloth, twill, brocade or satin. I'm the master of my trade.
On today's program, we'll also talk with artist and weaver Sandy Fisher, who has decided to grow her own field of flax, from which she'll get high-quality fibers to weave into artisanal fabrics. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse presents the play The Trip to Bountiful. Curtain time tonight and tomorrow, 7:30, and there's a Sunday matinee at 2. The Shasta College Theater Arts Department closes the run of its spring play, The Foreigner. Catch the performances of this comic romp at the college's theater tonight or tomorrow at 7 o'clock, with the final show Sunday at 2. Tomorrow evening at Reading's Pilgrim Congregational Church, the Oak Song Music Society welcomes Joe Craven and the Sumtimers. The funky freestyle folk rhythms start at 8 o'clock. At the Orland Art Center, the exhibit March Musings. Five artists with a diversity of styles and techniques show their works. The centers open 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Opening at Chico's Blue Room Theater, the world premiere of Good with Faces by local playwright Hilary Tellison. This absurdist mystery farce takes a satirical look at psychotherapy. The play starts at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. The Celtic band Dervish comes to Chico State's Laxon Auditorium tomorrow night. This lively music from the Emerald Isle starts at 7:30. Then Wednesday at Laxon, legendary singer-songwriter Graham Nash with samplings from his new studio album This Path Tonight. Nash will also share backstories from his 50-year career and sing fan favorites from his days with the Hollies and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Don't miss this two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Graham Nash takes the stage, starting at 7:30. Sunday night at Sierra Nevada's Big Room in Chico, Poor Man's Whiskey. This high-octane hootenanny starts at 7:30. The university's Janet Turner Print Gallery opens its latest show, Know Their Name, Women Printmakers and Shoujo Manga Artists. In recognition of Women's History Month, this exhibit celebrates women printmakers and female shoujo manga artists. Turner Hours, 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. At 1078 Gallery in Chico, Michael Stevenson presents Out Loud, a multifaceted event showcasing his paintings, prints, music, and theater performances. Meet Stevenson tonight at the gallery between 6 and 8 o'clock. At the Chico Art Center, an interactive exhibit, The Replication Machine. Bring in something you'd like to artistically replicate, put your item into the machine, and in 20 minutes, you'll get an original piece of art based on your item. The machine operates 7 days a week through the end of March. Visit the Chico Art Center at Orange near 5th Street, between noon and 4, Monday through Friday, or between 10 and 4, Saturday or Sunday. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge opens Jeeves and Wooster in Come On, Jeeves. This raucous comedy by P.G. Wodehouse follows the aristocratic young fool, Wooster, and his dutiful valet, Jeeves, on a weekend in the country. It plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Sunday, at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, the Russians are coming. The Paradise Symphony Orchestra plays pieces by Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, and other Russian composers. The music starts at 7 o'clock. In Oroville, the Birdcage Theater closes its production of Henrik Ibsen's play A Doll's House. Tonight and tomorrow, showtime is 7 o'clock, and the final performance is Sunday at 2. The Acting Company in Yuba City presents a play by Anton Chekhov, The Seagull. See this classic drama tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. On this St. Patrick's Day, let's hear from Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw. Life isn't about finding yourself, Shaw proclaimed. Life is about creating yourself.
Take you now to Chico Theater Company. Their current production is the hit Neil Simon comedy, The Odd Couple. First, we'll hear from Roger Hart, who's making his directorial debut with this show.
What do you think makes Neil Simon one of America's greatest playwrights, and what makes his shows just work so well over and over?
Well, I think Simon had a unique ability to craft dialogue about serious subjects, but in a way that makes us laugh. His perspective is so witty, we can laugh at ourselves and the characters he provides in his stories.
What made you decide to leap into the director's chair here?
I love comedy. That's what made me gravitate towards this story, which is a classic comedy, one of the favorites in American theater.
How did you approach this production to freshen it? Because it's been performed so many times. There's been a famous movie and a TV series. What did you do to make it seem new again?
I was fortunate to have a very talented cast. Many young actors who bring those characters to life. I give them great credit for a refreshing turn at a classic comedy.
And this is Daniel Morin. Tell us about how you built this character.
Who is Oscar Madison Hall? He's from the East Coast. He's going through a divorce, or he is divorced. And I think that, for me, was really the key into him, was that heartache. Because at the core of him, there's pain. And for me, that was my way in.
That's one of the things that makes this play extra special as a comedy, because it's funny all the way through, but there's also pain and true human life going on. Did you feel a reality of the situation as well as the laugh machine part of it?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's probably where the comedy comes from. Comedy and tragedy are so linked. My first theater mentor always said the greatest hilarity comes from misery.
You have quite a bit of experience performing in the Sacramento area, and you've also performed in New York. What's it like performing with Chico Theater Company?
This is my third show here, and I already feel part of the community. So it really does feel like finding another home, which is great because, ironically, I was in New York, but I left because I was going through my own divorce. And I had nowhere to go except here because my mom moved to Paradise. 2 years I didn't do any theater, and it was really hard and scary, and I didn't know what to do. And so one day I Googled Theater Chico, found this place, and I just bit the bullet and did it. And, you know, I'm forever grateful.
I was interested in watching the dynamic between you and JD as he played these two roles. A lot of it's because JD is different in physical type from the actors I've usually seen playing Felix. He's just about as tall as you are. He's broader than you are. He has kind of a physical aggression to him. How did you develop the physical back and forth between the two of you, especially since you were facing the person who was more formidable than you were physically?
You know, when I auditioned, I didn't know who I wanted to play. And they had me read Oscar, and then they had me read with JD as Felix, and something clicked. I don't know what it is, but I think it's just a testament to JD's talent and my own that we knew exactly what to do, and it just worked. One thing I love about what JD's doing is he's bringing such a vulnerability to Felix.
What's it like being in this community theater setting? This is a true community theater because there is a whole following of people who are part of the Chico community and they're sharing with you in a community way. What's it like having that audience that seems connected?
Oh, the audience is your best friend when you're on the stage. You can just feed off them. It helps build the energy of the play. So even though I don't know any of them personally, there's a weird connection between performance and the people, even though they're in the dark and you can't see them. I mean, it truly is a communal experience.
What would you tell people who haven't yet had a chance to see The Odd Couple at Chico Theater Company about what the experience will be like and what they'll enjoy about the show?
And what they'll enjoy is to see real people. These characters, they're not caricatures, they're dynamic. And that's the testament to the playwright, Neil Simon. You're going to see real people going through something that is both hilarious and sad and poignant.
And now I'm here with the actor who plays Felix Unger on stage at Chico Theater Company. This is J.D. Amaral. You know, I've seen a lot of productions of this. I've seen the movie and the TV show and a lot of versions. You are a different physical type than the other actors I've seen play the role. You're just about as tall as the actor playing Oscar, and you're broader than he is, and you have a kind of aggressive physicality. That's not like the prissy, delicate kind of person that I see usually playing this role.
Well, you're absolutely right. I am not what you would expect Felix to be. I would imagine him being this waif, frail creature of a man. The fact that I'm not that, I have no choice. I don't, you know, try to come off as angry aggressive, but how I make it work is that I don't want it to come off like I'm mean. I don't want to come off as mean, and I don't want to come off as, I guess aggressive would be the best word for it. Titanic, maybe. So I move around a lot, I fidget. Body language counteracts the idea of my stature. I'm not really sure of myself. I mean, somebody sees anybody who's broad or tall, they stand tall and they stand firm, and that's what you expect from that kind of body type. My Felix, he's a little fidgety, he's uncertain, he slouches sometimes. That just gives the idea, I might be a bigger guy, but I'm not comfortable in my own skin unless I can control absolutely everything. So if I'm not comfortable, you'll see me moving around, you'll see me fidget, you'll see me compulsively pick at things. Very disarming body language, and that works.
How did you develop chemistry with Daniel, who's playing Oscar?
We get along really well offstage. You know, we spend some time outside of the theater doing social things just to see who we were as people and how we interacted. We're good friends. His Oscar is very in-your-face and very blunt. But when you read into it, Oscar and Felix have been friends for years, so there has to be some sort of give and take. He probably understands what triggers Felix, and Felix understands what he's willing to take from Oscar. How we establish that really is he gets aggressive, but I will not back down a lot. I mean, I might because he's in my space, but Felix knows that Oscar's not uncontrollable, and Oscar knows Felix is not that fragile.
The emotional place that your character is in is a bad place, a low place in his life. So how did you balance that truly miserable state of mind with the comedy you had to play?
It never hurts to go a little over the top. Even depression can be funny if you do it with a punchline. Even in my lowest point as Felix, every line ends almost as if there's a hope behind it. It could be denial, and it could be total anger, but there's always, he's trying to find the bright side, and it's that kind of hope that makes it truly humorous, really. You can understand the hope in his voice, even though he's saying the most god-awful, depressing stuff. he's relatable, especially to anybody who's been through a divorce themselves. Sometimes making fun of yourself helps cheer you up. And you see Felix do it, you got to laugh with him because you don't want him to stay in that space.
JD, what would you tell people who haven't yet had a chance to see this production of Odd Couple? Why would they enjoy going to see this show?
It's real. It's down to earth. It's not inconceivable this can happen. So there's almost a true relation. The story is timeless. If anybody who's interested in theater or has never been to a live theater, it's one of the best shows to start with because it's succinct, it's witty, it keeps you engaged, and it's real. So it's watching something truly happen. It's watching a real interaction you can believe.
The Odd Couple, the Neil Simon comedy, currently on stage at Chico Theater Company.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking to Sandy Fisher, who is a local weaver, but in particular, we're going to talk about her Chico Flax project. Can you give us a little of your background, Sandy, and then tell us about this fascinating project?
My background, I took one textile class at Chico State and fell in love with the tactile quality of working with fiber. It wasn't enough after I graduated, so I went off to Scotland and learned from a weaver, thinking, wow, this is really, really awesome. He made his livelihood doing production fabrics. I came back ready to go, and I've been able to make my livelihood as a production weaver. And I found a niche with interior pieces, so I make table runners. I've been doing wall pieces, things for the home.
Now you're going in quite a dramatic new direction.
Yes, becoming a farmer in a roundabout way. One of the materials I love working with is linen. And the last couple of years, I've just fallen in love with that fiber and found that my sources for my materials have to come a long ways. Thinking about how things travel and being aware as a personal home gardener where we can grow our own plants and the movement of the, what is it, seed to table. There's also another movement where why not seed to fabric.
How far away do you have to go to get your linen?
It's actually processed in Europe. So I have to go through a middle person and I buy my yarns through them. For me to make a garment or a hand towel or some linen, that story of that linen has got to be quite a lot of processes to get through to me, not only from the mill that's in Europe, but then it's got to be shipped over here. So the idea of the carbon usage to make that linen is pretty shocking. You think about our world and the environment. That side of me is coming out now. I'm thinking, how can we make something that is locally sourced? We do have some beautiful local wool that is grown in Centerville, in the canyon, Honey Run Road. You can knit and weave with this person's yarn. Also, alpaca is grown locally. That satisfies one need. But, you know, we live in a hot climate. I like to work with linen, but also cottons. I got a call 4 years ago from a local activist, Linda Furr, who was very concerned, like myself, about how our clothes are made. In this case, the Bangladesh fire of laborers that were making clothing that we don't think about. We just go to a store and we buy, but that person made it in atrocious conditions. So she was concerned and she said, well, what are local weavers doing? We got together, we were having a nice lunch and we noticed that there was some beautiful garden flax growing. What about flax? Sure, why don't we try it? It grows in the spring, so the following spring, a group of us decided to try growing it here. We were having trouble with our heat again. It likes a cooler climate. So we grew it. It's a 90-day grow period, so we started in February or so. By May, we were reaching temperatures of close to 100 degrees. We got it prepared. There's four or five steps that we had to learn by YouTube, mind you, and one good book called The Big Book of Flax. I was able to contact the authors who live in Pennsylvania and have a totally different climate than us, and have been growing flax successfully by hand and processing it by hand. That was kind of the emphasis of that book. So they were our resource, and we built tools. It's a whole another hour talking about processes, but it's like five steps. You harvest the plant, you do something called redding, which dries the outer core. Then you have to break it, which is very physical. Then you do another, I love these words, scutching, which is a form of beating the flax to get that outer shell out. You're aiming to get the center of the plant. That's where your future linen is. And then it has to be hackled, which is a combing process. What you get when you do these steps is hair-like, almost baby hair, beautiful, beautiful, long, long fiber that is then ready for the spinner to spin it into yarn that when it is spun, it becomes linen. It only at that point is it truly called linen. We did this. We were finding that our fiber was rather coarse. And it did take water. We're in a drought. We were in a drought. I mean, I still think we're in a drought, even though we've got a lot of rain this year. So that, like probably in 2014, my husband said, let's try it as a winter crop. It's an annual. So we put it in our backyard around Thanksgiving, let it sit. It grew. You know, we had that dry December, and it got to about maybe 4 inches and stayed there. And then we had a cold January, and I thought, oh, we're going to lose it. It tolerated the frost. So it stayed at this 4 or 5 inch level. And then come February, we started having the nice weather of the 60s and 70s. And it started to grow. And by April, it had got the flowers, a beautiful purple violet flower. And the seed pods came. And then we harvested. We did all that processing. It was quite soft, a lot softer. So I thought, wow, what a great new industry we could be creating. Because I'm thinking of it as the artisan who could use it, but then there's the farmer who could grow it. So you grow it. Well, to do that hand processing we couldn't afford it. You know, that shirt or those linen sheets that we wanted. In fact, the first time I tried the breaking, I thought, oh my gosh, I'll never get my linen sheets. It was too laborious. Okay, so we've got the farmer to grow it, but where can the farmer go with their flax? We need a mill. There are no linen mills in America. Well, I'm not talking a big mill. I'm talking a small mill. Last August, I was at a linen symposium in Massachusetts, and I met a woman who has the same ideas that I do to grow it, but needed to process it. So they had a grant from the Canadian government and now have developed these small processing tools or machinery and are very successful with actually getting it to the spun point and having yarn. They're willing to work with us, and so we could create this mini mill. Then we could become this Northern California center for not only growing the flax, but processing it. So when it's processed all the way through the mill, you come out with yarn that textile artists could use, weavers like myself could use, knitters. It becomes something that could lead to creating some beautiful pieces of art with it.
Well, what really intrigued me is that you said potentially you could do the milling with bicycle power, and we are just such a center of bicyclists.
Yes, thank you for reminding me, Lars. We were talking about that earlier. This big mill I'm talking about could take maybe up to 10 years or more to actually happen. But one of the things I'd like to see happen a little more immediately is to have these hand tools being powered by bicycle. This is a bicycling community. I'm a cyclist as well. So it just kind of is another way that we could get a little more process happening. And so quite a fun idea.
I understand that people can go out and look at these fields of flax. Doesn't that sound wonderful and poetic? Where can they go?
We have two gardens growing right now out at the Humboldt Gardens on Humboldt Avenue near Hank Marsh Middle School. We have a sign there. If there's no one in the garden, it is a gated garden, but if there's no one in the garden, there's a bike path, a walking path. And we're on that corner right by that bike path and Humboldt Road. So you can walk right over and look at us. Right now, it's because it was a winter crop, it's only probably about 3 inches tall, but we're expected some sun. We do have a Facebook page. It's called the Chico Flax Project. I will take photos so we can watch it grow on Facebook if you can't get over to the garden. And then the other garden is on Eden Avenue, and we have a sign that is the Chico Flax Project where you could go and look at it as well.
What are some of the characteristics of flax linen that make it particularly appealing to art weavers?
It's such a luxurious fiber, and when it's woven, it just has a draping quality. It takes dyes wonderfully, so it enhances with the color. It's just beautiful as it is. Due to how it's, this term called redded, it's either very golden or it goes gray. It becomes golden by going into water and letting it rot before you can break it and do all those processes. Or another one called dew redding, which is laid out in the field and you get this beautiful gray. But both of those, either the gray or the gold, take on the dyes, and natural dyes are just wonderful, like pomegranates and toyon, Osage orange, all those things that are around us could bring beautiful color to this linen.
Is it okay if people contact you through Facebook and find out more about the project?
That would be wonderful. It's really a community project. And the more people that could come out and be involved, if you'd like that, or just know about what we're doing, please contact us.
Well, thank you, Sandy, and it's a marvelous idea. It's time has come for California.
Good luck of the Irish to you. On this day of celebration, happy St. Patrick's Day. And we remind you how lucky we are to have such an array of arts available to enjoy here in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.